Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in once again to the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. And with me today, I've got occasional co-host Andrew Collis.
How you doing?
Hey, Andrew. Good to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
And along with Andrew, we have regular co-host, Mr. Walt Robillard.
It happens to the best of us. I love being here. Thank you.
Hey, Walt is actually working off some points on his driver's license by his regular duties of the Banff Podcast.
It's true. It was either that or join the Army, and then it turns out they maybe do both.
All right. So, hey, Andrew,
big
news. So why don't I turn the mic over to you and let you thrill us with what you got going on.
Well, big news. I mean, we sort of plastered it all over the web as it is, but this is our first time talking about it, so that's great. We have, Walt and I, through Zenith Comics and Hazard Studio, purchased the intellectual property rights to Supers, the comic book role-playing game by Simon Washburn, formerly of Beyond Belief Games, was its property. Now it belongs to us, and that's what we're doing.
Excellent, excellent. So what are your plans for that?
Well, plans, those are always grand and grandiose. Our plans are to take over the world and destroy all other role-playing games and pretty much make everybody play our game. The reality is we're just going to release a crap load of supplementary material, convince third-party people to release stuff, and we're doing a revised edition of the basic game to try and address some of the questions that have been raised by people who didn't like Supers or overlooked it. And then we're going to create an optional book, which is going to have some more crunch to it, some more meat to it, sort of to try and give some options to the people who are a little more, we're not talking like Mutants and Masterminds or Champions level crunch, but certainly a little more towards the bash side of things. That's the plan.
Because as you were saying before the podcast started, one of the beauties of Supers is that it's just crunchy enough, but not overly crunchy like some other popular superheroes games we could but won't mention.
I'm going to say since we love this term crunch in role-playing games, let's just keep the peanut butter analogy running, and it is extra smooth crap peanut butter. It is the lightest superhero game I've ever played, other than running around my best friend Ian McDonald's backyard as a kid saying, "No, you didn't hit me. Yes, you did. Oh, I got stabbed. Take the knife out of me. Okay, I'm better now." Like that, it's literally one step up from that on how easy and free-flowing it is to play.
Well, that's cool. Excellent, excellent. When can folks expect the first release from you guys?
Walt?
Well, we already have the stats done for all the main characters for our release Supervillains, which has been released for a bunch of other different products. And that should be hitting sometime, hopefully, by the end of September. And that'll be the first actual supplementary release through Hazard Studio Zenith collaboration as far as other than Supers. We've also been talking to several third-party folks, and we hope to have some stuff launching by the first of the year.
Yep.
So hopefully we can get this ball rolling and show everybody exactly what kind of game we have.
Absolutely. We've certainly been talking with some previously produced products that were produced for Icons and Bash and things like that about doing Supers translations, and the response has been fairly good to that as well.
Okay, cool. Can you tease us any of the products specifically you're thinking about?
Walt?
Nice. Well, we've talked to Jerry Sirocco, and he has a product out called the Triad, which was fairly well received. It's in the process right now of he's working with one of the other big time names that in the Supers community, Russ Boyd, and they're going to be putting together new cover, some new art, a new layout, and then once that's all together, they're going to re-release that not only for the systems it's already out for, but also for Supers as well. So we have that going. I guess I can tease right now a new product line that we have coming out. The product line will focus on kind of like a villain a week kind of deal for a few weeks going on. And what it'll have is it'll have black and white line art, inked art, and then colored art for the hero or villain involved, and then the super stats to go along with that. So if you want to use this as simply stock art, you can. But if you want to use it for your games, bingo, you have the stats right there alongside to use it and run this guy as either villain or hero in your Supers games.
Oh, sweet, sweet. Okay. So, I look at lots of plans afoot. Now, you guys mentioned a revised edition. I'm guessing you got the original system creator on board for that?
We did manage to, in the deal we made for the IP, to secure Simon Washburn, the creator of Supers, to come on board as what I'm terming, too many years in the film industry, unfortunately, what I'm terming as an executive producer, which means he's there to give us his opinion. He's there to provide us with some insight. He's there to sort of say, well, you know, when I was originally, well, he's from England, so I suppose he'd have a British accent, but anyway, you know, when I was doing it, I was doing it this way, and this is why I did it this way, and that's sort of what we're looking at him, we're sort of having him involved with, is to help guide us, help keep the spirit alive. But at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, this is a revised edition, so there will be some changes made. There will be some decisions that Walt and I will decide upon as the project owners that may or may not go over well. The reality of the situation is that for those who do love Supers, it is a much loved game. Those who get it love it deeply, and they are very hesitant to change. We are currently discussing it a lot on our boards. We're going through revision. We've opened it up to the fan base to come in and tell us what they want and sort of discuss ideas. And I mean, we've had, you know, hundreds of posts, no joke, in a week and a half, 2 weeks, just on these topics.
Oh, hey, while we're talking about your forum, if someone wants to check it out and contribute to the conversation or cuss everyone out, where do they go to do that?
Well, what we'll do is it's an awkward URL, so we'll provide it to you, and you can maybe throw it in the show notes.
Okay, cool. Or we can get a tiny URL, make everybody happy. So
there we go, even better.
The other side of the coin, too, is if guys want an easy way to do that, they can just go right to my webpage, hazardstudio.net, and it says Supers Forum right on the front page. All they got to do is click the link, and boom, they're right there.
And I'm sure we'll be throwing that up on the zenithcomics.com as well as soon as humanly possible. Right, Walt?
Absolutely. I can do that.
Well, hey, you know, while we're talking about Zenith Comics, you guys are a comic book company. What's going on with that?
Well, the comic is coming along really nicely. The art is...
gorgeous.
Yeah, there's just no words to describe. This team of John Skoglund and Dan Hauser, for the pencils and inks from John and the colors from Dan, have been mind-numbing. Just beautiful stuff. I'm sure you've seen some of it, and if people want, they can go to zenithcomics.com, see some more of it, or follow us on the Facebook page. Just type Zenith Comics into Facebook, and you'll find us right away. We've got tons of the art up there for people to look at. It's coming along very well. As in any project, deadlines. You know what? I'll resort to my favorite quote from Douglas Adams, which was, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing sound they make as they race by." It's the nature is that it's a moving target for us, and we accept that because our goal is not to just throw out a comic. Our goal is to throw out the best comic we can create with the resources available. As to such, as of this week, because of the acquisition of Supers, surprisingly, and Walt's need to be the guy in charge of the Supers project, I am learning, that's right, I'm learning how to letter a comic. So as a result of that, when you see the opening, when it says, you know, pictures by John Skoglund, colors by Dan Hauser, and words by Andrew Collis, it actually means that in almost every aspect now. It's a scary process, but thank God Scott McCloud has lots of video tutorials out there for me.
Yeah, he's kind of a lifesaver for some of that.
Oh, tell me about it. Between him, Denny O'Neill, and I'm going to say Peter David, I got... I got a first year how to write comics from just reading their books. And I would say at the end of the day, Denny O'Neill is a master, an absolute master. If anyone out there wants to learn how to write comic books and needs a guideline, pick up Denny O'Neill's DC, writing comics for the DC, DC Comics, writing DC Comics, the, you know, DC Comics, writing for DC, whatever. I don't have the book in front of me right now. It's one of those how to write comics the DC way type things. Also pick up Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics, because if you don't read Understanding Comics, you will have no idea what you're doing. He breaks it down for you in ways that are just absolutely astounding.
Yeah. Well, Denny O'Neill, if people aren't aware, he was the Bat Pope, or the...
Yes.
Yeah, the head of the Batman books for most of the 90s and late 80s, so... Definitely the 90s. He did the No Man's Land and Nightfall.
Yep. And he actually breaks down No Man's Land in his book, showing you how to structure an overarching plot amongst multiple comics. So it actually works out quite well.
Sweet, sweet. Okay, well,
Now, sorry, just to touch on something, as we don't have to railroad over you.
Railroad all you want, Steve.
Well, woo, let's go.
disturbing.
Yes, thank you. Well, if John was here, he would have gotten that joke. So one of the things we're doing, or one of the conscious choices I've made with Zenith Comics, is that fans or people who read the comics as they come out will come to the role-playing material and look at it and go, hey, this isn't quite the same universe. What's going on here? The reason is twofold. One, I'm treating the gaming universe as an Earth 2, as an alternate reality from the comic books. And the reason why is simply this. It has been my experiences in writing and role-playing that there are universes you tell stories in, and then there are universes that are very good for role-playing. Disagree with me or not, the reality is Babylon 5 was a great universe to tell one story. Lord of the Rings is a great universe to tell one story. Until they expanded it into the infinite universe, Star Wars was a great universe to tell the story of Luke Skywalker. Conversely, Star Trek is an absolutely amazing sandbox universe. It's the kind of universe where you can tell multiple stories about multiple characters without ever having to worry about undoing the universe. The Zenith comics that we're writing, Heroic, is to tell a specific story. It is not a sandbox world. But there are plenty of ideas that are good, so we're shifting that to an Earth 2-y mentality for the role-playing universe. And the role-playing universe will seem familiar, it will have similar characters, but it will be a very different thing. It will be a more traditional Bronze Age superhero universe, if you will. And that's just something I feel very strongly about, and I wanted to sort of throw out there.
Cool, cool. So when can we expect the movie adaptation?
Comics first,
gaming second, movies eventually.
Okay, if you need someone to play, you know, a chubby, cherubic, but lovable, and a acerbic radio host, I got a guy.
You got a guy.
Just keep that in mind.
Good to know. I'll be sure to write that character in. Hey, Walt, do you think you could do the voice of the guy that's listening, we're listening to on the Jeep, and we're in the high desert there?
That's possible. You know, the other thing I could think of is, you know, when we do the revised edition and flesh out the, you know, the city where all supers live, he could do some of our radio broadcasts.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, WBMF.
Yep. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, cool, cool. So we covered your forums, covered stuff coming out. I guess for additional information, we can go ahead and say that we're looking at taking Improbable Tales and my series of adventures we kickstarted for Icons and converting it to Supers as well.
Woohoo!
We've been in some preliminary discussions about 10 minutes ago on maybe doing a Stark City conversion at some point in the future, but that's still, you might have to buy me a beer yet for that to happen.
that's Walt's job.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing as I also work in the beer industry, not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not
if I were to give you a massive, manly Canadian beer, Mike, I'm not sure what would happen to you, so.
It's hard to say, really. That might, I would have to weep and hold my manhood cheaply for all the American beer I've been drinking all these years. I'm drinking Riesling right now, so I feel like a huge pussy even having this conversation. So
that's okay. You know what? Because no matter how much we Canadians like to beat our chests and brag about our beer, the Germans look at us and go, I'm too cute, and pat us on the head.
Well,
they're 20% alcohol beer.
In all fairness, Germans do that to everybody.
Not that we don't love you. You are a kind and wonderful people with a deep tradition in history. Zenith Comics, it's all Germans everywhere. Thank you. Good night.
Exactly. All right. Well, cool, cool. Well, hey, what else do you want to say about the acquisition of Supers and the glorious future?
Well, I just want to talk about, if Walt doesn't mind, I just want to talk about how great a game it is. I was resistant to this game. It came out in 2010, and a couple of people tried to point me at it, and I picked it up, and I read it, and I went, ugh, you know, the art was sort of same thing as Icons. It was that sort of more animated style art that I'm not a huge fan of, and it didn't feel, you know, Bronze Age, kicking ass superheroes to me. So I just kind of found Bash, which did have the animated, but it was that beanie, pulp, you know, Tim style that I really like. And I fell in love with Bash. I've come around to picking up Supers recently after watching a video review of it by Grubman, which was I was sold. In this little 5 minutes, you know, YouTube clip, he sold me on the game completely. It is an absolutely fast-paced, as creative as you want to be. Your powers aren't, you know, you're not sitting there with a power that has 15,000 effects attached to it. It is literally a case you have a power called flame power, okay? Elemental power. And as he says in the example, you know, the robotic ape wants to pick up and throw his bus at the fire girl. The fire girl now has a choice of what she can do to resist. She can use her reactions to get out of the way. She can use her flight to fly around it. She can use her elemental control to blast it into a slag heap as it's coming towards her. Or she can use her elemental form of fire to let it pass harmlessly through her. And I was like, wait, what? Back that up. Oh, really? So I can now defend with my I-beams? I can blast someone else's blast? I can do what Superman does, and I can punch the energy rays out of the way? Ah, yeah. Sold. You know what I mean? Because that's superheroes to me. That's comic books to me. I hate static defenses. I hate fixed offenses. I hate your power can only do this unless you make some spectacular roll that allows you to do something else. I like the openness of superheroes, and I liked it so much, as the joke was about the old, you know, I bought the company. It's that sort of joke. Like, but I liked it that much that when I saw Simon was willing to sell it, I talked to Walt, and we came around and, you know, making offers because it was just that good.
Sweet, sweet. Well, let me ask you guys a question. What's your favorite campaign in Supers, or your ideal campaign in Supers? If you're
Walt, go ahead.
Well, I'm more of a Marvel Comics guy than a DC guy. So I would think something along those lines would kind of flavor the way that I would play Supers. That being said, some of the stuff I'm seeing for your project, Mike, Stark City, mm-hmm. That would fit extremely well with the rules because, like Andrew was saying, you're not just locked into one way of doing things. Somebody can shoot something at you, and instead of defending with your static armor roll, you can defend with your intellect. You can use some sort of quick thinking to create an incident where your intellect can now defend against that bullet. So I mean,
The Reed Richards character can use his super intelligence to have quickly thought out all the trajectories of that bullet and sidestepped it.
You know, I would love it if you guys would, at some point in the future, come back and do an actual play for us online.
You got it. Absolutely.
We were actually thinking about doing that, and we were starting to put something together. We were just waiting for everybody's schedules to line up. But if you want to gather some folks together, Mike, we can do a separate one for you guys and totally knock it out of the park and show everybody what a great game this is.
That would be awesome. What's character gen like for Supers?
Simple as pie.
And it's elegant, too. It's really easy.
The way it's written, rules is written, is it's a pool of dice. You have a pool of dice to buy everything with. Characters in the book are built on 20 dice, but I found for my personal campaign that I need to go to 30 dice to represent really the more experienced hero. So 20 dice would be a starting character, real, you know, the guy's first day out on the job type of thing, and then build from there. You buy everything with dice. You buy your reactions. Or sorry, your resistances. There are no stats. They're called resistances. You buy those. Then you buy your skills, which are called aptitudes. And these are abilities. You can use aptitudes to get out of the way of things, to attack things, to do things. Then you buy your powers. Then there's some advantages, some disadvantages. Bob's your uncle. You're off to the races. If it takes you more than 15 minutes to make a character, you are overthinking that character.
Yeah, way too much.
Okay? I made 15 villains in an hour, 10 minutes one night before a game.
Oh, wow.
Okay, boom, 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 and I was done. It's not a game about building your intricate effect-based character. This isn't Champions. This isn't Mutants and Masterminds. It's not even Bash. This is a game about giving a guy a power. The power is called Flight. It has this many dice in it. How can you creatively use your flight in the game now, Mike? And that's the question you ask. And when you come up with an idea of what you're going to do, well, you roll your dice, I'll roll my dice, and whoever's got the most dice, highest total, wins.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay, so what's combat like in this game? What covers character gen?
Combat is very interesting because it's one of those things that a lot of people are split on because it's the hardest. I would say for me, the hardest thing to grok about the system is the combat system. Once you grok the combat system, it's fantastic. Now, you'll want a house rule. You might want one a house rule. Me, personally, I love the house rule, so I do. But as written, the combat system is very simple. Everybody rolls initiative. The first guy goes. He says, I'm doing this to this person. That person then picks what they're going to resist with or how they're going to react to it or what they're going to do. They both roll dice. Highest guy wins. If one of them loses, there's a little formula that tells them by how much they lose, how many dice they lose. Those dice are then taken off of their resistances, and the resistances are willpower, or will, which is, you know, your strength of personality, strength of mind, I guess would be the way to describe it, really, at that point. Not strength of personality, but strength of mind. Composure, which is the one I really like the most, because composure is how cool you are, how much you keep your shit together in a situation. So if you think about it, if someone hits you, you can sell a case to your judge at the table that, you know what, I'm only taking one die of damage, I'm going to take it off of my composure because, you know, I can't believe the guy hit me, and it's pissed me off that this joker has hit me, so I'm losing a composure point. Like, that's the breaking point for a lot of people, is understanding that it's not, there are no hit points, there are no wounds. There are four categories of dice that you use to define who your character is. They are called your resistances. They are very simply four things, two physical, two more mental, sort of social, and they design it. You have your composure, your fortitude, your reaction, and your will. Your composure is your social one. Your will is more of your sort of how do you resist mental attacks and that type of thing, and sort of, you know, how strong your mind is. Your reaction is literally, you know, how physical you can get out of the way of stuff, how quickly you react to it, and your fortitude is your raw endurance.
Okay. Well, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, Mike, please.
Chairman Canadian, please speak.
What I like is that, to give you an example from the rule book, okay, just to read something to you really quickly, because I didn't write this game. If composure is reduced to zero dice or below, you have lost it completely. You cannot talk properly. You cannot face anyone. You might fly into a rage or burst into tears. The actual effect is up to you, depending on the situation and your character. However, you are effectively out of action and cannot do anything worthwhile until composure is restored to one die or more. So think about it. You're playing, let's say you're playing a character called the Disco Dictator. And his whole thing is that he's all about his great suits and his shiny roller blades and everything else. And he constantly is getting mud thrown on him. He's constantly getting, you know, the heroes are dumping, you know, ash on top of him and all this kind of stuff. And they're just ruining.
Where have you been hanging out? Oh, my God. I'm kidding. Keep going.
Anyway, the point is that you can actually, without laying a finger on the guy, through play, through choosing your effects properly, and targeting his composure, reduce this villain to tears. Reduce him to a frustrated mass of anger that can't be effective because he's completely unhooked himself and he can't just handle it. Or he can beat the tar out of him. I mean, there's both options. But
go ahead. I played Truth and Justice by Chad Unterkoffler a few years back. I did a couple sessions of that, and had kind of a similar thing where there weren't only hit points, but you were you know, acting against somebody's attributes.
The famous quote, punch him in the Aunt May, right?
Exactly. You punch Spider-Man. Exactly, yeah.
That's not quite this. There's no attacking the person's disadvantages as an attack, which I think is. I picked up a copy of Truth or Justice, and I couldn't grok it. Sorry, that was me. Mm-hmm. I did certainly grok. This system, and it took me a while to get it. I got to again give props to Grubb. He's the one who explained it to it best. The other thing is you can only use a power once around. So if I choose to defend with my flight, I can't then attack with my flight. If I choose to defend with my energy control, I can't then attack with my energy control. The only exceptions are armor, which is a defensive, or mental shield, if I'm being attacked mentally. And those I can repeat with multiple, but each time I use them in a round, they lose one die of power. Some people have a hard time with that. There are... The mentality is Superman is always this invulnerable, therefore how would his invulnerability ever go down? Okay, sure, but that's not comic books. That's not physics engines versus comic book engines, as people like to say these days. I would say at the end of the day, Supers is a much more comic book engine system.
Well, cool, cool. What was the expression? It's emulating the fiction, not the physics.
Right.
Yeah, cool, cool. All right, well, hey, I'm really interested in having you guys come back, and we can do an actual play, run up some characters, and do a combat or two, see how it plays.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
There's no random character creation. I personally am not a superhero creation fan. I know the fan base has been crying for one and demanding it, so we're going to include it as an optional set of rules for the judges' options. But if we do wind up doing an actual play with you, I'll just bring a bunch of pre-gens, so that way we can just get down to bouncing dice and what have you.
Okay, that's beautiful, yeah. I get to be Batman.
Too easy.
Or if not Batman, Deadpool? I don't know. Figure something out.
I see non-union Mexican Batman with the serial numbers filed off.
Bat-Manuel?
Hey, I like it.
Exactly.
All right, cool, cool. Wait, anything else you want to say about Supers before we wrap it up?
Walt?
I just want to say thanks to the fans so far. Supers has a really rabid fan base, and they've been amazing and supportive, and everybody's been coming out and coming down to the forums and knocking out some ideas. So we really appreciate everything they've done so far for us, and the fact that they've accepted us and kind of made us a little part of that section of the comic book universe. So to those guys, thanks a lot, and keep posting.
Sweet. Andrew, any closing thoughts?
Be heroic. Just that's it. That's all, man.
Okay, and speaking of cheesy sign-offs, our semi-official sign-off for the BAMF podcast is Make Mine BAMF.
Make Mine BAMF.
And I really need to have at least two more drinks before I say that with a straight face. But thanks for listening, folks. Thanks to Walt and Andrew for being with us, and we'll catch you next time.